this time of year, I have a... where's Jimmy Weinbrenner when I need? Okay, Jimbo. All right. It's going to shock me. I don't want to do this in front of everybody. Just, you know. Okay. Like everyone that I'm facing, our age causes us, I hope, for you to get a little nostalgic at times. I'm one of those type of people that I get nostalgic. At this time of the year, I just have a lot of emotions go through me at this time of the year, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, because I'm always looking back over the year and things that have happened, and I kind of see it as a journey, and the writer was right. We're just pilgrims, folks. We're just pilgrims walking through this thing, and there's some good things that happened to us, and there's some not so good things that happened to us. And I just got to, it just seems like I've said this multiple times in the last 2 weeks, because it seems like in the last 2 weeks that we've had our fair share of deaths. Zach, I know where you are out there. I know the average age out there in Rosenberg. You have your fair share. And but with the size of our church, we do. It just seems like that in the midst of a holiday season, and even in the midst of crummy weather, rain and coldness, that the phone just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. It was a great sight, although it was tragic for these two families. But the night we had visitation for Larry and Cheryl, for their family at Nyday, was the same night we had Dr. Ronnie Richards' family there. And if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. It's cold outside, and it was raining. And the fear was you had to stand in line outside. But the people were there, and I told Mr. Nyday, I said, Mr. Nyday, I said, this is Sagemont Church night at the Nyday Funeral Home. The place was just packed with Sagemont Church people. These events, uncomfortable events, were happening almost simultaneously. Larry hasn't told you the rest of the story. You'll get to hear the rest of the story later in due time. But I just have to pause. I do this every once in a while. I just want to remind everybody in this room, there's no way to put into words and express the meaning of friendships and relationships and church relationships in this church. And I appreciate Larry on the staff. But this is family. You know, this is the Greek word is koinonia. Not a lot of churches have koinonia, much koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word which means the fellowship of believers bound together by salvation, hope, purpose, unity, and love. And at times like this, it expresses itself. And so in this last 2 weeks, this church, poor Rex Forsythe, I mean, golly. He went out of town for 2 days for Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. I wasn't even going to call him and tell him what happened while he was gone until he got back. Because things were happening Thursday and Friday. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches us that life is fragile. The Bible teaches us that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, not only for ourselves, for people we love. And so therefore we walk this pilgrim's walk. We walk this pilgrim's walk in a way that we need to be expectant. Even not expecting something like death to happen to a family member, but expecting that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. Amen. That's pretty good, because He is. We've known her since we were little that all of us are going to die physically, but listen, we've also known for a long, long time that Jesus is coming again. And boy, in the last few days, I was yelling Maranatha. You know, come Lord Jesus, come on. Because folks, you know, few of us Christians, I'm preaching now. Sorry, Zach, it's because you're here. Few of us Christians really have our faith tested. I'm not picking on you if you haven't had your faith tested. But we haven't, you know, Susan Kello's not here. Ramon, you've gone through this. You know what Larry's talking about, brother. You go through this. They lost their son. And I look out here at all of you. Most all of us have experienced something like this in our family. But that's what God told us was going to happen. And I guess I've said multiple times here about this deal that I've learned this last year, and I'm, excuse me for repeating and dwelling on it, but the Apostle Paul did too, and you know, he repeated himself. He was old too. But we don't live in mountain valley lives here. We live in simultaneous tracks in our life. That while what was tragic that's happened in the last couple of weeks, the people I love dearly, there's some exciting things that are happening. And you don't want to lose a sense of that, folks. That what God does, we're at a Thanksgiving time of the year, and it's still a time of Thanksgiving. I know it was Thursday, but it's a time of Thanksgiving. It's not only a time of Thanksgiving for things we have, and I don't know how you create your list, but folks, it's a time of Thanksgiving for things you don't have. I was thankful for Thursday. I'm up here. First of all, I wanted a life lesson for my two granddaughters sitting around the table. You know, that's what life's about, especially if you've got grandchildren and children, is you want a life lesson for them. Because nobody else is going to teach them about life out there. You know, and so I'm running around like some of you men were, so I want you to empathize with me. I don't know how many times I went to Kroger. I go to the local Kroger here because this is the hood I live in. I go to this local Kroger here, and it's like I know everybody there. I just, you know, hey, Charlie, hey. I dare not go to Kroger in my pajamas, okay? I know some people do that. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I don't go to Kroger in my pajamas, all right?
Okay.
And so I'm there on the busiest aisle in the store. It was the baking aisle. I'm telling you, they needed a traffic cop there. And so I'm there because I'm there on an errand of mercy. Susan says, Emery, I don't have this. I thought I had it, but it's okay, babe. I'll go. So I get into Kroger and I head over to the baking aisle, and it is packed. And so you can't get carts down there. I mean, you're having to, you know, and there's these men walking around with pieces of paper. And I've told you these men, you men before, because I give you valuable information in here, because I'm a theologian. You better get what's on the list.
Amen, brother.
Amen, Brad.
You better not get a reasonable facsimile. You better get the brand. And you better look, because she's written out the adjectives for you. Because, listen, the... Huh?
I've even written the aisle number.
Listen, we're just idiots, okay? And so you get the adjective down here because this brand, here's what this brand will do for those of you in retail. So this brand will change adjectives. It could be the brand with the wrong adjective. If you don't get moist or super or new improved, see, it's all packaging. So here I am.
That's why God made cell phones.
I'm there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And so here it is. It's packed. And here, the clergy's there. I'm supposed to bring order to this thing. And I see one of our church members. I'm not telling you who it was. Bless his heart, he was standing there going. His back's up against this, because everybody's going. You don't want to cross the aisle like Frogger, you know what I mean? And so he's... And I could tell his eyes were glazing back in his head. And I went out and called him by name. Brother, what are you looking for? He says, I can't find it, Emery. Listen to me. It's here. I can't find it. French vanilla cake mix by Betty Crocker. Well, I said, well, I can find that. Well, I didn't see it. This is Emery doing it. You, this won't surprise you. I got everybody's attention on the baking aisle. Ladies and gentlemen, have your attention, please. I have a young gentleman here that's in distress. He's come here for his wife. He's got this piece of paper clenched in his left hand. Ladies, please help us. We're looking for Betty Crocker French vanilla cake mix. If I'm lying, I'm dying. This one went over there and went. It's there, man. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they do that. It was amazing at Kroger.
You know what you can do? I do it for Doyle. That's what phones are for. Take a picture.
Well, yeah.
Turn it go.
You gotta find it, you know. Bill?
Jalapeno cheese whiz.
Jalapeno cheese whiz. Have you got it yet?
No.
You haven't got it yet. Listen, the store is crazy at Thanksgiving. Poor men in there. There's some of them still walking around with a piece of paper. So I'm at the Thanksgiving table, folks. I've got my wife who's sick as a dog, but she's got to be banana and she's got to cook everything. And I've got my grown son in from Galveston, mother grown son and his wife and our two granddaughters. So it's a moment. Well, one of my many trips to Kroger. And I'm doing a self-checkout, okay? And I've got everything. And you know how to do self-checkout. And I get my little billfold out, and I get my Kroger card. And I scan that because I want to get a penny off. And and so I'm having to buy these, you know, green onions. I do need my ATM card, so I run it through there, and I stick this in my pocket, and I have this in my hand, and I have my bags, and I'm going out to the car to get back to the house as quickly as I could so I can do a return trip. And I get home, I have lost my billfold.
Oh, no.
I have lost it. Okay, my driver's license and everything, this is what I carry, ladies. Okay, now I carry my $2 cash in my front pocket with, I got a $5 bill. In these cards here, that's my front billfold. Anyway, I lost my billfold. So Susan's asking me, where did you lose it? And I'm going, I can't. So I go back to Kroger. I left it at the self-checkout. That's what I did. It's not there.
Oh, no.
So I go to the courtesy booth, and they were very courteous. It was not there. And so the next day, I don't have my driver's license. I don't have anything. I come up here to the church to do. I can't even get in the building because it's got my little scan card. No, it's not letting me in. I've been here 42 years. It's not even letting me in. And I don't have my billfold. I'm driving illegally. And so I don't have it. And so Thanksgiving morning, I'm in the car. I know it's an epiphany. I know God said it to me. Put your right hand down between the seat. And I put my head down there and came out with my billfold. So I'm trying to teach these to my granddaughter a life lesson while everybody's starving to death at my table as I'm telling this story, that life's full of little things. Life's full of little things. And God protects even people like me. But life is little things, and it's big things, and it's good things, and it's tragic things that are in our... We're pilgrims just getting through here. I'm so thankful I have my billfold. I'm so thankful. But I told her, when I got through, I told the girls this. But let me tell you what else I'm thankful for, Caitlin. I'm thankful that I'm not lost anymore. That my billfold was found, and now I've been saved. Ray, I see that hand.
Henry?
Yeah?
I would like to tell you that even though we went through the death of our son, last Saturday morning, bright and early, my wife said,
folks, are y'all listening to me? Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
My my eyesight's not good here. Paul, where did Gloria go? Oh, she said next to you. Okay. When this sweet lady loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, loves the Lord, but something wasn't right. She knew she was saved, but she was baptized before she was saved. That means she just got wet.
Yeah.
And you remember when she stripped herself of her pride and humbled herself? You had to, Gloria. You had to humble yourself. And just like a little child, very simplistic, she came and wanted to have believer's baptism. Oh, does that mean she's going to heaven because she got baptized? No, she's going to heaven because she invited Jesus into her heart. This is just a symbol. This is what it is. Baptism's a symbol.
Yes.
She could have kept her mouth shut.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let her. Larry Caswell could have kept his mouth shut. But the Holy Spirit moved upon him in the midst of the death of his son. And like a little child, he asked Christ to come in his heart Saturday morning. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Not excited about burying his son, but excited about new life in Jesus. Pretty amazing, folks. I hope you're not walking through life 20/20 vision, walking around blind. I hope you understand that little things, finding a billfold is pretty excited to me. But my friend Larry getting saved, pretty excited to me.
Amen.
Conducting that funeral wasn't very exciting to me. But watching what God's doing in those people's lives. Larry, I got stopped this morning at 7 o'clock. Carrie Jones. You know Carrie Jones? Emory. Great job. I said, no, Lana. He said, no, you don't understand. I took my two daughters there, 4 and 7, and he said, you know something? You're taking a risk taking children to funerals because they're going to hear goofy things. Y'all know y'all gone to some goofy funerals, haven't you? Out of respect. But when you bring kids to somewhere where it makes sense because the gospel of Jesus Christ makes sense,
yes,
and expose them to what it means for a believer. See, there's a lot of things worse than death for a believer. Sometimes it's this life here on earth.
Yes.
He says it was a life lesson for them. They could understand, and I was able to teach them. The funeral home was packed, but there were people out there of all different persuasions. That's what happens at funerals. That's why we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to present the gospel and give people an opportunity and everything. Larry, God's going to use what you have acknowledged and done. I can't tell you. Folks, the next step, Gloria, you know what I'm talking about, is when I get to baptize Larry, I told him that auditorium is full of people just like him. There may be some in this class. That it's, you're an adult, you're a senior adult. I know, we are. We're senior adults. And when you let years go by, and years go by, and years go by, and years go by, and years go by, all of a sudden pride sets in. And my friend had to come as a little child, the Bible says. And in the midst of that, oh, he's got 3 granddaughters he's got to help raise now. And how wonderful this is, isn't it? I don't know what your Thanksgiving was like. I know for many in here that there's a lot of pain. But you look around, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Yes.
Can I say something?
Yeah. I'm not teaching.
I have a great praise on Thursday. Just like you were saying, I have an older brother. He's 64 years old. And he was the one that y'all had been praying for last year. And his blood clots and his legs. And we were back and forth to Magnolia. And since last year, he's never been baptized. He accepted the Lord at 14. And time had passed. And his heart, you know, the Lord only knows what to do. What he did and with his life, you know, he said he was a believer. So when this happened last year, he started telling me about 6 months ago, he goes, you know, last year, the Lord started working on his heart. He told me, he said, you know, I really need to get baptized. He said, you think if I die, I'll still go to heaven? And I've never gotten baptized? And I said, absolutely. I said, but, you know, you need to follow God's command. That's, you know, you need to do that. Be baptized. Well, he goes to these little churches in Magnolia, where he lives, that they don't have baptistries. You know, so I kept telling him about the cross, because in the summertime, that he is so far and he's so ill, he couldn't come. But I had shared with Sheila last week, or 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, this is a situation. I said, he's coming for Thanksgiving. I said, and he wants me to baptize him. We're in the backyard. He said, can you think of somewhere that maybe he can throw some sprinkles on me or something?
But I said, that's Constantine. No. We don't want to do that.
I said, no, we're not going to do that. I said, let me think. So I started praying, and Sheila called me. How the Lord worked all this out. He just put everything into place. And she said, call John Mark. So I thought, okay, call John Mark. Call John Mark. He called me. I talked to Lori. John Mark called me. And I told him the situation. He goes, well, get him baptized. I said, when? He says, Thursday. I said, are you kidding? He goes, at the cross, maybe? And he goes, no, I'm going to open the church. He says, I don't do anything on Thursday because on Wednesdays we celebrate Thanksgiving with my family. Lori and me are free. I said, oh my goodness. And I said, I don't want to mess up your Thanksgiving. He goes, you're not. This is going to be a great blessing for you and your family. He goes, what time? I said, maybe about 2:30. He said, you get all your family, you come here to Sagemont, I'll open the door, we go to the baptistry, and I'm going to baptize you while you're there. 64 years.
Wow.
We all got here at 2:30. It was a celebration. Let me tell you, my brother is a big man. I was so
afraid. He's not a big man.
And so we get down there, and it was like John Mark on his day, just a glorious time. And he got baptized, and the Lord has answered a prayer for so many
years. Yeah.
A prodigal brother.
Yeah.
We all got.
Thank you. Pretty great that you don't have to be baptized. You get to. You get to. Wow. Another Thanksgiving moment, anybody? I will teach a little bit today. I know where I'm at. Yes. Come on. Got a lot to be thankful for, don't you, Jesse? I know a lot, but that's the thing that's burdening you right now. Let's pray for Fred. Can we do that?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, you say that we're to give thanks in all things, and we're to pray for all things. And so Jess understands the simultaneous tracks in her life of joy and pain. Probably the hardest people to witness to are our family members. So, Father, if it's not a family member, would you use somebody in his life?
Yes.
Use somebody along with the Holy Spirit, because it's going to take the Holy Spirit convicting.
Yes, yes.
use something, may it not be tragedy, but use something in his life to convict him of the need for you. Oh God, sometimes the hardest people are adults. Because their heart seems to be hard because of time. Father, soften his heart. Give Jess and Jimmy the words to say and know when to say and when not to say. But use some other people in this man's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. You ready? Okay. Where's Rachel? Rachel, I got in trouble over this comment teaching the room for young mothers, you remember. The Bible says all of us, when we come out of the womb, are sinners. That's a fact. I can't change it. We're not born good and we go bad. Your mom and dad did not spend any time teaching you to be bad. You knew how to be bad coming out of the womb. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We're going to die one day. And so the question has to do with this child. And so I gave the illustration to these ladies that I have two precious granddaughters, but they're precious little sinners. And they need a Savior. And we're working really, really hard surrounding them with the right things and the right people and the right opportunities for them to be saved. I don't know what will happen. My 9-year-old granddaughter has trusted Christ as her Savior. That's a result of her understanding what sin's all about. I do believe that the Bible teaches this, that God protects these little children until the time which they can understand. How can you repent of something if you don't know of that concept, sin? That's not fair. So God has a protection, let me just say, not only on her, but all in that situation of these children.
Yes.
There are people that are 35 years old that have the mind of a child. And they may not reach the age, what we call the age of accountability. They don't understand. They don't understand. You may want to talk to somebody else with me, but I just believe with all confidence, and I'm telling you that child is covered. I believe that with all of my heart, Jean, that child is covered with God's love for those children. He said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." The Bible says that. And I believe that your worry over salvation for that child should not be a worry for you. Now, don't walk out of this room and say, "Emory said it." Because I'm nobody. If you want a theologian, Zach, can she talk to you afterwards? You're the pastor, okay? I'll let you talk to Zach back there. Listen, fret not. That's the loving God. Anybody want to debate that?
Remember David's son.
Yeah, David, thank you, Joy. He said, "I'll see him again." The child that died. You know? That's something to be thankful for, baby. That God's protecting that child.
She's a sweet little girl.
Okay, get your Bibles out. I want you to turn probably to a chapter that maybe, I don't know, maybe you've never read, or if you read it, you didn't remember reading it. But we're still in the middle of this, really, this holiday season, and it's rolled around. And many people like me are saying, where did this year go? It just seemed like, wow, where did it go? All the stores are filled for you to go buy. My granddaughters are spending the night with us Thursday night. We're having a great time. It's about 11 o'clock. They come out of the room, they got their coats on. I said, Susan, is it cold in here? No. The girl, Caitlin and Claire got their coats on. I said, Caitlin, what are you doing? Daddy and Mama said, we're going for a ride. You're going for a ride at 11 o'clock on Thursday night? Little Claire always repeats what her older sister says. Papa, we're going for a ride. I said, baby, I know you're going for a ride, but you're going for a ride in a shopping cart. Where can you go for a ride on Thanksgiving night at 11 o'clock? Can't go look at Christmas lights. They're not up yet. I was supposed to have them up, but they're not up. They went for a ride. They went to the store. And now the stores, you know, we fight this every year, the the stores and the sales and Black Friday, and dads and moms already wondering, how in the world are we going to pay for this? You know, Thanksgiving is a preseason holiday. I'm a football nut. It's a preseason game for a lot of our culture, getting ready for the Christmas season. But something that you do to get in shape for Christmas. And so we eat and we sleep and we watch football and we don't stop until January. We don't slow down till January. And this is a shame, because the art of giving thanks is one thing that separates men and women from animals. To receive a gift and say thank you is one of the noblest things a man can do. And for some in here, it's one of the hardest things, because there's many in here, and I'm looking around. You do know it's more blessed to give than receive, and so you're a giver. You're a giver. There's two types of people, givers and takers. You're a giver, and so when someone gives to you, you're very uncomfortable with that. I get real uncomfortable with it. But God wants you to receive, because He's given us so much. But just to say thank you to somebody is one of the noblest things you do. You've gone through this, and Larry and Cheryl right now, how many times can they say thank you? They got a long list of people, and how do you say thank you? But there's nothing small or trivial about saying thank you. Thank you is to acknowledge that what we've been given something we did not earn and we didn't deserve. And happy is the person that understands that all of life is a gift. All of life is a gift. And life itself is an ultimate gift. John 10:10 said, I've come to not only give you life, but give you life more abundantly. And so when He breathed into us the breath of life, as He did with Adam, and He blew Adam up to make him a human being, which started all of mankind, it was a gift. And what we do with our life is a gift back to Him. And it's the ultimate gift. And life is fragile. We've talked about this. It's fragile. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, even in the tragic things, even in the hard things, even in the sad things. If you can't be thankful for what you've received, Then why not be thankful for what you escaped? And that's what I had to tell my girls. I have escaped hell. I'm so thankful. But I don't worry about that anymore. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ coming into my heart. I don't have to lay and look at the ceiling, because I know that I've never trusted Christ. Lord, you don't have to do that anymore. With that in mind, I'd like to bring kind of a special Thanksgiving message, because next Sunday is too late for Thanksgiving. Okay? But I want to bring a special Thanksgiving message from a very, very short chapter in the Bible that maybe you've never read. If you would, turn to Psalms 131. Psalms 131. Boy, there's some things that are easy to skip over in the Bible. We don't think are significant, but they are significant. I've told you even words are significant. As you know, David was a poet and a musician. And he was called the sweet singer of Israel. I read this last week. And if you read through Psalms, sometimes you'll notice that nearly half of them are written by David. Psalms 131, if you found it, I know it's a little one, it's one of those psalms they call the pilgrim psalms. What this means, this means it was a part of the psalms which were sung by the Hebrew pilgrims as they made their way up the mountain toward the city of Jerusalem, and they would sing. It's like our praise horses. And as they would go for their annual festivals, 15 of these psalms are grouped together, 120 to 134, 15 of them are grouped together, and all of them except one are fairly short. They're easy for you to memorize and easy for you to sing. And so these are the pilgrim's psalms here. The pilgrim psalms are like choruses. The purpose is the same. Is to prepare your heart for worship. It's possible that you've never noticed Psalms 131 before. It only has three verses. And so you might overlook it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that this Psalms is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. So I bring it to your attention today. There are three verses in here. And each one of them reveal a character quality that we must have in order to connect with God, but in order to be really, really thankful. Psalms 131, verse 1. My heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. The psalm begins with, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. You know, not many of us would begin a prayer this way. It kind of sounds odd to my ears when I first read this, as perhaps David was bragging about his humility. But the first quality we need to look at today is humility in verse 1. David, you can't brag about humility, because once you brag about humility, you ain't. You got it? It's tricky to talk about humility. How do you know when you're truly humble? Because come to think of it, when you realize you're truly humble, you're not humble anymore. When you think you have it, you lost it. It's helpful to know that the word proud here is actually a Hebrew word which means high. In the Old Testament, it was used for high trees and high mountains. It was used to describe King Saul, who stood higher than anyone else in Israel. It was also used by God when he was said to be on high, God on high, that phrase. And whose thoughts were higher than man's thoughts, high. And we use this word today in the phrase, you need to get off your high horse. That's where this came from. You're too proud. Well, there's no merit badges for humility. But I do know that we live in a culture that, if we're not careful, believer, this is a quality that gets smothered out, because we live in a culture of things. We get in a culture of things that we have and possessed. I've never been on the... some of you had to. Chicago. What's that street called? The Million Mile... Million Dollar Mile. You know why it's called that? Because it's full of stuff. It's full of stuff. But someone told me this week that they saw a T-shirt up there walking down that street on somebody's back that says, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." See, folks, we're contra culture. We're a pilgrim. We're going through life. But let me tell you what, we're in the contra flow lane. I used to be scared. I still am scared of the Gulf Freeway. I used to be really scared of the Gulf Freeway back before they invented concrete barriers. When all we knew back then was plastic poles. Remember those days? Well, we'll just put these plastic poles up here and it'll keep everybody safe in the contrafoil lane. It wasn't very safe. So now we have the contrafoil lane. You got concrete and barbed wire, and it's protecting you getting downtown Houston back. People have the most toys win. The prophet Jeremiah says, if you want to boast about something, don't boast about your possessions. Don't boast about your wisdom. Don't boast about your health. But you boast about this, that you understand and know God. I know from dealing with teenagers that the four false gods are beauty, brains, bucks, and bone. The people that have at least two of those four, we kind of worship. And we vote for them. But the Bible says that while it's true that the meek shall inherit the earth, it doesn't seem to be happening around here. Folks, let me tell you something. In order to be saved, you have to humble yourself. Humility. The humility is the first mark of a believer, because you have to humble yourselves. In fact, the Bible says, humble yourselves as a little child. And so the psalmist is saying right here that in order to, as we're trying to go in these pilgrimages, and we're going to the mountaintop, and we're going to Jerusalem for the festival, there's got to be this spirit of humility if you want to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ and God. There's got to be humility there at the time of Thanksgiving. It's, you're not thankful for all the stuff you have, but you got to show humility. Humility is a basis for Thanksgiving. Verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. You see, the second quality for Thanksgiving found here is simplicity in verse 2. Verse 2 brings us to this quality, and he says, but I have still and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. The picture is one of only that a mother can understand here, that a child is born and for a long time he looks to his mother's breast for that source of that nourishment, whether it's breakfast, lunch, and supper. This is it. But it was nourishment. And so the child's totally dependent upon his mother. And when he cries, the mother knows exactly what to do. And he's satisfied and he goes back to sleep. But something happens to each of us. As time rolls on, we get older. But the day comes when he has to learn to take a bottle. We call that weaning him. That a child has to be weaned. That's not a happy day. Many of you know that. It's not a very happy day. It's a big learning process. That baby cries and big tears roll down his face and his arms reach out, but the mother does not take. He fights it, he pouts and he screams, and he's got this stupid bottle. What happens to mom? She used to be his friend. Now she becomes an enemy. And if mom has a heart at all, she cries too, because now things are going to be different. And as you move up in age, there comes a time that things are different. They're not like they used to be. She will feed him never again the same way. But it's true. Unless a mother weans a child off, he will never grow up. A clinical Christian psychologist, Dr. Charles Solomon, I'll never forget this story. In counseling, we learned this story that there was a family that found a baby fox. And they brought this little baby fox. They're so cute. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they're cute. Brings this fox into their family, and they treat it like a pet. They bathe the fox, and they put a bow around its neck, and they feed the fox, and they get its injections, and they take care of all the needs of this little baby fox. But what happens, just like us, that fox grows up. That fox can no longer stay in this house. And so the husband and wife take this fox out to the woods for a little drive, out to the woods to let him go. And they take him out of the car and they take the ribbon off of his neck and let him go. And you check on that fox if you could. temperature drops, the sun goes down, it's cold, the fox is cold. The fox is hungry. All these years, that fox had been taken care of. And he never was weaned off of that life. And now he has to act like a grown fox, and he doesn't know how to act like a grown fox. It's the same way with us. It's very simple. It's simplicity that we're to grow. We're to grow as a Christian. We're not to take on the milk of the Word anymore. We're to take on the what? Meat of the Word. But if you're not ready to take on the meat, you're going to choke to death. And so that's why it's a progress. That's why we've told you that salvation is a process. That once you've been saved, that you're going now through the point of sanctification where you're growing and growing and growing. And the second quality of being thankful in your heart for things is simplicity. That the gospel is so simple that if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart, you repent of your sin, He will come in.
Amen.
Titus says this, there's one thing God can't do. He can't lie.
Amen.
He can't lie. If you invite Him to come in, He came in.
Amen.
If you invite Him to come in, He came in. And so it's very simple. The gospel is so simple that it confounds people. It confuses. There's got to be more. It just in a simple moment. For you, your salvation experience may have been when you were a child. And so because of that, there's a tendency to question that later on in life. For some of you, you came to Christ in a quiet moment. It's called silent acceptance. Maybe you were lying in your bed looking to the ceiling one night. That's what happened to me. I mean, there's nobody. Susan was asleep next to me, I think. I don't know. Because she knew I was battling with it. And I got out of my bed and knelt by the bed that was carrying my wife, that was carrying our first child. And I said, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me." And you know, I heard no fireworks. Did you, Larry? Okay. I heard no cherry bombs. I heard no fireworks. There was not a brass band playing. I didn't get up and make a parade route around the house. I didn't want to wake her up. It was a simple transaction that takes place in your heart. It's simple. It's simplicity of the gospel. It's the humility of the recipient, but it's the simplicity of the gospel that we should be so thankful for because He didn't make it hard. I've taken a lot of tests in my life that were hard. There was a lot of questions that I didn't have the answer to, and I faked it. I still got it wrong. But this one you get right because it's simple. It's simple. Psalms 131, verse 3. Here it is, the last verse in this little bitty chapter. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. That this third principle to be added to humility and simplicity is the principle of integrity. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. That this word, you know, and Denny's told you, and I've told you, the word hope in the Hebrew means to wait. And to wait expectantly. Expanded version definition is this, and it is to wait on something because you know the thing you're waiting on will happen because you're waiting on is trustworthy. I'm an early riser. I don't know if it's a disease. I don't know if it's a curse. I get up real early. Sometimes I get up, and some of you are like this, and you just go out into the living room and just sit. And you say, "Will the sun ever come up?" After about the fourth cup of coffee, will the sun ever go up? After four cups of coffee, you have no chance of going back to sleep. And so you wait for the morning. You wait for the morning. And 4 o'clock comes, and 5 o'clock comes, depending on your time zone, and 6 o'clock comes. And all of a sudden you see a little break. You say, "Hallelujah. The rest of the world is getting up now." But you know, with confidence we can wait for the morning because the sun's coming up. Because our Creator makes the sun come up. And this waiting with confidence here that something's going to happen because the person we're dependent upon is trustworthy. And David is saying here, you have a choice to make. Either you choose to live like everyone else or choose to wait on the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Listen, Jesus is coming again. That's what we're hoping for. I mean, that's what our Christmas festival is about, is the word hope. Have you seen that word hope? The hope we're trying to tell people is the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not this type of hope. See, you don't have to do this. I hope that I'm saved. You can get it settled. Why? Because the person you're trusting in is trustworthy. You don't have to cross your fingers and hope you go to heaven. Do you know how many people are walking around? They're not sure. They're not sure. They hope they're going to heaven, and they're using the word hope different than the way I'm using the word hope. I hope I'm going to go to heaven, because their basis of their hope is invalid. But when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord both now and forevermore. Our hope is in the Lord. Even today, in the midst of tragedies in our life, even in the midst of good things that are going on in life, our hope is in the Lord. And so we receive the days as they come. They're not all good. Tell you what, they're not all bad. And things are in our life, we're pilgrims walking through this. And God's trying to refine us and work us and do us a job on us, because He wants us to be His representatives to a lost and dying world. I don't know if you're one of these people. If I was to ask you to do it, maybe most of you wouldn't do it anyway. You ought to make you a list. A list of what you're thankful for. That's easy. We do that kind of every year. I'm so blessed. I really am. I don't deserve what I have in my life and the people I have in my life. But you see, folks, that's grace. God knows what He needs, and He put people around us so we don't not depend upon ourselves. We need people. But I tell you what, this Thanksgiving season, I am also thankful for things I don't have anymore. I'm also thankful for things I don't have to worry about anymore. I'm thankful for some things He took out of my life. I don't know what your testimony's like. Susan complains sometimes because she doesn't have a testimony. She does. But I think she was born saved. No, that's not true. Listen, that's not biblical. No, she was born a sinner. I know. But you know, you begin to think, God, what did she do wrong? Spill her milk? She ought to be thankful she doesn't have the sordid testimony that a lot of us have. Folks, there's some of us, we were involved in things, if we'd have continued on, it'd been destruction. If we'd have continued on, it would have probably brought our death. If it had continued on, no telling the people you would not have influenced in the right way. Oh, this thing of life is big, folks. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand, especially when we're walking through some valleys that we're walking through today. But one foot may be in a valley and the other one's on a mountaintop. If you really understand the Lord, and He brings peace into your heart and thanksgiving into your soul, it allows you to be humble and be simple and be a person of integrity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to You, and I am thankful, Lord. I am thankful. I am so thankful. Father, teach us what it means to walk as a pilgrim through this life. Oh, it just came to my mind. I thank You for 1 Corinthians. It says that we go through some trials and tribulations in order to help those who will go through the same thing likewise. Oh, there's a purpose in everything that comes our way. May we not miss it. May we not miss it. Father, we don't want to line up for it, but when we get it, may we not miss it, of what You're trying to teach us. Use us in a mighty way to usher in Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, brother.